Jackson grabbing a winner, I believe. Shime, is he in process when it comes to getting the ninth caller?
He sure is, Greg.
Okay. I'm going to do that all week because I have a pair of tickets I could give away every single day. So just a heads up, if you listen to the show on the reg, whenever you hear Shime come back from a commercial, rejoin with an AC/DC song this week, just be the ninth caller, and I will get you tickets for Gillette Stadium.
That's pretty big, right?
AC/DC. Yeah. Seems like Gillette, I don't know, maybe it's just my interest. They have a lot of good concerts this summer. Fenway Park, not really that exciting to me.
Fenway Park's got Chris Brown. That's a good one.
Yeah. What I just said. Not that exciting.
Forever by Chris Brown is an all-time banger.
Is the Post Malone show, is that at Fenway or is that Gillette?
Gillette.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I want to go to that one.
Kendrick Lamar is at Gillette too, right?
Mm. Yeah. So not too many that are of interest to me. This is Mike from Florida. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are we doing? Happy Monday.
Yeah. What's up? What are you calling about?
I know it was something that you guys were talking about a little earlier with Shador, but I wanted to kind of throw my thoughts in, you know, because Wiggy was talking about, you know, maybe the NFL doesn't understand the culture and then, you know, the people that are obviously the people that are hating on him, like, and having and like enjoying it and enjoying the prank phone call. Those are just, you know, the typical troll type, you know, morons that exist in the society we live in. So, you know, he's going to have to deal with that for the rest of his life, no matter what. But in regards to the culture thing, you make a good argument because obviously the NFL is run by, you know, mostly old white dudes, and they don't understand it, and that's normal. It's okay they don't understand it because it's not their culture. But, you know, that culture argument gets made, and I don't always like it in other scenarios where you've got somebody that's from the South – and maybe they've got a picture on their Instagram and they've got a Confederate flag in the background. And the people from the South will say, well, that's our culture. And other people say, well, that's racist. Well, and then they'll say, well, no, it's not. It's our heritage. And we're just proud of our heritage. It's our culture. So regardless of whether it's culture or whatever it is, it's the way that the league perceives things like that, and that's not going to change. It has nothing to do with hatred. It just has to do with, okay, we're taking all the variables from Shador Sanders and saying, okay, here's the talent, here's all these other things. Are all these other things, is the talent worth all these other things that you have to deal with?
Yeah.
You know, and they're not going to side with a guy that has all the other things that you guys talked about earlier in the show.
Yeah, I think Wiggy, you know, hit the nail on the head this morning when it comes to talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they didn't see the talent
right there,
and then you have to all this other stuff comes
plays
along,
into it
comes along,
and
with
it would go the other way too. Like, let's say, for example. Who was that? They believe it was Quinn Ewers, right?
He dropped precipitously.
Right, right. But let's say Quinn Ewers was in a similar situation as Shador Sanders and had Confederate flags draped all through his crib next to boar heads and deer heads and moose heads. Like, there would be owners that would, and people in the football world that would look at that and go, wait a second, this is different, even though he might believe it's his culture. And granted, the two cultures are different. One's hip-hop music and rap culture that is just music based on people's environment and how they grew up.
I would really hope that nobody now at the age of 20 has a Confederate flag.
Right, where the Confederate flag means something completely
Jesus.
Different.
It's
like,
not
so,
even...
Yeah, so it's like the culture of what... You know, when I say that, because I've been around and I know how, like, coaches and GMs, and Courtney and I were talking about it. Like, they did it with Cam Newton. Cam Newton's pre-draft interview with the owner at the time, Jerry Richardson, asked him, you got any tattoos or piercings? And Cam was like, no. And he said, keep it that way. So it's like, even people with tattoos, like, they're if you don't understand that culture of where that person's from, you can kind of start relating the negative part of it with the person who just enjoys the music or might be from there.
But can't you just, if you're an NFL executive, can't you look at Shador Sanders and say, the talent, I don't believe the talent is going to translate.
Right.
And he's kind of a dink. Like, and it can have nothing to do with his culture. It has to do with his character.
But yeah, but you can say that to a certain extent, which would, like Shime said, drop him out of the first round and maybe into the second round or the top of the third round. But when you have guys going in the second and third round, like Dylan Gabriel or the kid from Louisville.
I mean, Ryan Leaf was as big of an a-hole as could ever exist, and he went second.
Right. But he didn't have the baggage of his father. Like, I think that
no, he had the baggage of drug abuse.
Yeah, but
what's the dad?
I don't think they knew that, Curtis.
Well, but I mean, he didn't interview well because he was. I mean, he was a total disaster in that process.
Yeah, but they.
What's the baggage of Dion? So Dion's cocky.
He just retired his kid's number.
All right, but that's
when he was 500 as a quarterback, less than 500 as a quarterback.
All right,
you know that he's going to be involved in the whole entire process when it comes to the whatever team his kid is on.
Yeah, but still a full-time employee of Colorado. No, like, he's coaching his own team.
You don't think he's going to start interfering and saying things if he doesn't feel like the team is treating his son right?
What?
He's going to be talking about it publicly the whole entire time.
The fan base of whatever team he's drafted is not going to side with Dion. They're going to call him an a-hole.
Yeah, once the Mannings were drafted, Arch Manning disappears. Like, that's kind of how it works.
Arch Manning is nowhere near the same as Neon Dion Sanders.
They put their kids in a position where they get drafted high because that's what they want to do. They want to help their kids succeed. And then once they go to the NFL, it's up to them whether they float or drown.
Yeah, but along the way of making sure that your son succeeds, you need to teach him how to be humble to an extent. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the issue that I have. It's the way in which he talks about who he is.
Right.
And I think that there is a difference between being confident and cocky, and he's coming off extremely cocky, he hasn't proven himself.
But there
in the
are
league.
Other people, like Baker Mayfield was one of the cockiest players
Correct.
Out there.
So and look how that panned out.
Johnny Manziel
some success in
this last season.
And if you want to
because he went to like five different coaches.
If you want a new character
Johnny
issues, what about Eli's older brother, Peyton? Look at what he did with the freaking trainer in Tennessee.
Yeah, and Johnny Manziel is another one who had a bunch of character issues, and he went first round.
And it was an absolute failure.
But we're not talking about whether or not it was a success or a failure. We're talking about those guys still went first round. Like, they're...
And now it's years later, and these teams are looking and saying, we've had headaches in the past. Some people have not panned out, so maybe we need to take a better look at who this person is and the way they conduct themselves.
But they went Zach Wilson number two overall a couple years ago.
Okay.
So he had issues.
What did he do? All he did was smash one of his mother's friends. Yeah. Like, what's wrong with that?
But, like, Shadur doesn't even have any off-field issues.
So
he's just cocky. That's literally it.
But we're not saying he has any off-field issues. We're saying that the way in which he conducts himself is off-putting, I'm sure, to an owner who's going to spend millions and millions of dollars on this person being their future. If he's going into interviews with his headphones in, if he's not showing up to interviews, if he's telling teams he's better than them.
Shime, how would you feel about somebody applying for a producer role here who has an entourage of 15 people with him?
Has he spent 4 years in college radio kicking ass or having tape to prove it? Like,
I think Baker Mayfield is the best example of this because he was a total dink.
Right.
And he didn't drop at all.
Right.
No, he went
higher. He was the
first
pick in the draft.
They thought he was going to go like 10th. He went number one.
Right. And the Patriots were picking up the phone, calling to see if they could trade up to number two. Johnny Manziel the same way. All I'm saying is Shador has done enough on the football field. He's got a career average of 71% in completion percent. On the football field, whether you think that maybe his talent is not great, okay, we can dispute that. But there's no way you go from being a projected top 5, top 10, top 20 pick to a fifth-round pick.
Well, there is a way, and you just saw it this weekend.
But there's some shenanigans involved in it.
Shenanigans, okay. All right, we have got to take a break. I'm sorry. We're just a little bit behind. We'll be right back.